Good morning and welcome into The Extra. Shannon Brunese is on vacation this week. Mike Lewis and Andrew Rogers were tag-teaming The Extra, and it's great to be here. And we've got a very good show for you, and it's going to be informative. We are going to welcome in Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs. Doug, no stranger to KRDO. And also, we're going to also talk about Austin and her role at the North Pole, if I have that correct. I'm just reading the notes that Shannon left us, Austin Lawhorn. Doug and Austin, welcome to KRDO.
Hi, Mike.
Nice
good morning.
To be here.
Well, it's great to have both of you here. Well, Doug, the big thing is, and we mentioned this earlier today on KRDO's Morning News when we had the Better Business Bureau on, and it's true, and the industry that you are so involved with and that is your mission to get people to visit Colorado Springs and go to the restaurants and hotels, they were really impacted greatly by this pandemic, weren't they?
It's been called the Great Travel Depression, coast to coast, Mike. It is beyond a recession. We truly are facing times that are just unprecedented.
Yeah, and then Austin, you're with the North Pole. Everyone knows it. It's one of those staples for anyone who's been here a long time or grew up here like myself. Tell me a little bit about how this impacted you guys up at the North Pole. I know there's been so much back and forth between state regulations, county regulations, but how has this really affected operations up at Santa's Workshop?
Well, when you have a seasonal business, when you miss half of your summer, it's devastating, you know, and it has been a lot of back and forth between the state and the county, but we missed more than half of our summer. You know, we're already talking about a back to school schedule, and we haven't even opened to the whole park. So I've never seen anything like it, and it hasn't been easy.
And Austin, how many employees does this impact at the North Pole?
We ran the numbers, and our last payroll, we were about 80 people off of what we were last year. So usually we have about 100 and 120 employees, and right now we're operating with about 20. And, you know, that's 80 people who could be working right now that are not working here.
All right. And
Mike, when you think about it, one of the hardest parts of that are the young people, the teenagers, who summer jobs are what they depend on and grew up on and look forward to doing. And so, you know, as Austin and I have talked about this, the numbers don't tell the story when you really get behind them and look at all the young people who just were not able to work this summer.
Yeah, and they rely on those jobs not only for some employment during the summer to give them some extra money, but it's also good training for their future. So they learn how to get to work on time, how to dress, how to act, how to respect their managers and leadership. So it's a loss in a many, many ways.
That's correct. I mean, I think it's a rite of passage for these kids to have their first jobs. And I feel like right now, more than ever, kids kind of need that outside of their, you know, kids have missed out on school and sports, and now they're missing out on their first jobs. And it's, you know, it's a teaching moment, but it's also, I think it's good for people to, you know, get out and earn some money and learn some independence. And that's just one more thing that young people are missing out on.
Now, Austin, you know, everyone knows the, you know, North Pole for the most part. It's been in the community since the mid-50s. But for those who may be fairly new to the area, tell us a little bit about just how magical this is and really what goes on day-to-day just to the west of Colorado Springs.
Well, thank you. You know, we opened the park in 1956, and when we started out, it was kind of a village of artists and entertainers and, you know, animals and things like that. And we've evolved over the years into, you know, adding rides and things like that. But we have always stayed good for families, good for families with young kids. And at this point, when we are operational, we have about 28 rides, 7 retail shops that include a glass blower, you know, and that's a lost art, and 3 food areas and a magician and Santa. And it's really a full day where families can come and spend a whole day here. When we're fully operational.
And of course, you know, it's such a big time, you know, especially now for families been cooped up for so long. You know, what is the current operation level? You know, are you able to operate? How much are you able to do? And what have you heard from some of those families who have been able to come and get their mind off of everything going on and being cooped up at the house?
Right. So right now, we're allowing free admission. People can just come in the park. They can walk around our retail shops and grab a bite to eat. We have ice cream from Colorado City Creamery. So there's another local business that we can work with. And we have Santa here, but that's sort of a social distance visit because kids can't sit on his lap. And then we have 4 rides, our sky ride, our zip line, our train, and our slide. And, you know, it's still a lot of families come up, and I've seen a lot of families just kind of lingering here a little longer, you know, just sitting on the bench. And those kids, they'll ride that slide up and down all day long if you let them. You know, and I think it's good for families to just kind of get out of the house and – you know, and enjoy that time together, because things are a little stressful for families. You know, we're having to restructure ourselves as homeschool and schools are, you know, going back and forth with the opening and closing, and kids are watching their parents kind of figure out this new world order, and they don't have sports or their regular summer camps, and they don't know if they're going back to school. So I think it's good to get out of the house with your family, and, you know, they can talk to Santa, and they're not asking about their Christmas presents right now. They're, you know, just needing to talk to somebody, and Santa is an ideal figure for kids to talk about things that are important to them. And right now, it's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and that's important to kids, and so we're hearing a lot of that from kids and families, that it's good to get out, breathe some mountain air, and unburden themselves a little bit.
In just a moment, we're going to ask Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs how the marketing has changed, trying to get people to come to Colorado Springs and go to the North Pole and other attractions. We'll do that in a moment. It's 9:15. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Shannon Brenius has the week off. You've got Mike Lewis and Andrew Rogers with you. Thank you for listening to KRDO's Extra.
Welcome back to The Extra. I'm Andrew Rogers. Joining me is Mike Lewis. We are filling in for Shannon, who's taking some much-needed time off. Joining us on the KRDO Newsline, Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs, and Austin Lawhorn with the North Pole. And Doug, you know, every business in Colorado Springs, El Paso County, shoot, even the state and country, has been affected in some way, and really having to change how business is being done. How different is that, and what is it like trying to market to get tourists to come in to Colorado Springs, especially knowing what is going on and that we're in the middle of a pandemic still?
Well, that is the kind of the magic question. And Austin and her family represent the small businesses that are family owned, that are so prevalent in the tourism industry, you know, whether it's an attraction or it's a restaurant or a retail shop or a, you know, a kind of one of the hotels that's non-chain hotel. So many people depend on the marketing to get people here. One of the things that, Mike, you and I've talked about in the past is that tourism is often an invisible industry until the visitors aren't here. And everybody then's like, well, where is everybody? And what are you doing to get people here? And this year it has been we just really had to take an approach that was so different from the past, because normally we would be inviting people from not only all over the United States, but we would be taking ads and working with international wholesalers that are bringing people to the United States. Well, the international market has completely dried up, as we know. There's, you know, travel bans, and so for those of us here in Colorado, and specifically in Colorado Springs, we have been very intentional on simply advertising within the state of Colorado. And we would have normally started that in April and May for the summer months, you know, regionally. But now we did not start advertising for this summer until really right after Memorial Day weekend. And just to show you what a remarkable destination we are, there's a company called Smith Travel Research, and they, you know, they measure occupancy around the world. And they shared with us that the week ending the 11th of July, which was the Saturday after the 4th, Colorado Springs had the highest weekend hotel occupancy in the United States, at almost 82%.
That's impressive.
And, you know, so the pandemic has made for a slower summer for our region, particularly during the week. But what people, you know, Austin and other people are telling us is that the weekends, though their capacity is still limited, weekends have been very, very good for leisure travelers, particularly wanting wide open spaces and outdoor adventure.
Doug, the next thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know it's affecting you, you get a lot of the money that you used for your organization to advertise through what is it called, the LARC tax? Is that the right way to say that? That's the
correct.
Visitors.
The lodging and auto rental tax.
Yes. So if lodging is down and people are not renting cars because they're not coming here, that also has a negative effect on what you're able to do.
It does, Mike. And we are down, you know, our hotel occupancy is down year from say July of 2020 compared to July of 2019, we're down about 46% in hotel occupancy. But what one of the silver linings to this is that the CARES Act funding that came from the federal government to the state and then went out to the various counties around the state of Colorado, the CARES Act funding has helped us in a big way, because it, long story short, the county gave money to all the municipalities within El Paso County. Colorado Springs got their proportional share. And one of the things that the city has been really good about is wanting to live up to these obligations that the Lodging and Auto Rental Tax Committee approves for different events or organizations. So for us, the city recognized how important tourism is and advertising has been. So literally, Mike, though we were delayed in getting our advertising going, the city has fulfilled their part of the contractual obligation to us through CARES Act funding.
Okay, well, that is, like you said, that's the silver lining among the dark cloud that
yeah.
we are facing.
And one of the things for us that, from a marketing standpoint, that is going to be helpful is the money that we did not spend in March, April, and most of May, we have saved that money, and we want to do some fall advertising that we have really never been able to do before. We all, those of us that, you know, your listeners know that if you're from Colorado Springs, you know that the fall is one of the most beautiful times of year to be here. And we, as well as the state of Colorado, are going to be advertising throughout the state about come and enjoy the elevation, the colors of the leaves, and all those great attractions that we'll still have. Plus, the Olympic Museum has opened. And so for us, that gives us a new message that we just have not been able to do up until just the last few weeks.
And Doug, before we go to our news update, which is coming up in a moment, just quickly, are you targeting anyone in the Colorado Springs area? And the reason I ask that is, you know, the folks who live here, that makes a lot of sense to get them to go to the North Pole, to get them to go to restaurants and dining and go to the Olympic Museum. So a lot of times I think we forget when we live here the gems that we have in our own backyard.
Well, you're right, Mike. And you know, we have almost 23 million visitors a year in a normal calendar year come to Colorado Springs. And one of the questions that we get asked at our visitor center is people saying, well, what can I do? What are the deals? What's going on out there? And when we come back from the news break, we can talk a little bit about the Peak of Safety Pledge that we have been talking to residents and visitors about on how we want to make their experience safe. And I think listeners will be interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. We will have more on that Peak of Safety Pledge with Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs and much more of just how much the tourism industry has been impacted. Again, our guests today on The Extra, Doug Price with Visit COS and Austin Lawhorn with the North Pole Santa's Workshop. We are continuing on with The Extra. We have another news update as well coming up, so stick with us right here on KRDO News Radio. Well, welcome back to The Extra. I'm Andrew Rogers, joined by Mike Lewis, and joining us today on the KRDO Newsline, Doug Price with Visit COS and Austin Lawhorn with the North Pole and Santa's Workshop. Doug, we mentioned just before the news break that there is a new plan to promote, you know, what you guys are calling the Peak of Safety. Tell us a little bit about what this new program entails and how important that is going to be, especially knowing the challenging tourist summer we've had thus far.
Well, Andrew, the Peak of Safety Pledge is one of these programs that we've learned from other destinations, even other states, the state of Indiana, state of North Carolina. They have been doing this in inviting visitors to come to their destination and know that businesses have pledged to keep guests and visitors as safe as possible when they're in their care. And so what we have adopted is the Peak of Safety Pledge, where we're asking our visitors and our residents that before enjoying our, you know, great outdoors or attractions or restaurants and places like Santa's Workshop, we're asking visitors to do their part and take a pledge as well, that they agree to take action like wearing a mask in public, using contactless payment whenever possible, obviously, you know, staying home when they're sick. And in turn, they will be rewarded with deals and discounts to redeem at businesses around the region. And we just kicked this off last week. In the first 2 days, we had over 200 people sign the pledge from Colorado and 13 different states and as far away as Germany, that people were on our website saying, well, this makes sense, and when I visit, this is something I want to do. So, for example, one of the businesses that has agreed to be part of the pledge of in offering a discount is the new U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum, where if you sign the pledge on our website at visitcos.com, the museum will extend the group rates to a family or to an individual, which is $7 off a ticket for adults and $2 off of tickets for kids ages 3 to 12. So we think that, you know, and there are other businesses that are certainly taking a part in this, but we wanted both our residents and our visitors to know how seriously we're taking safety.
And that is key in the environment that we're in. You see the word safety in a lot of, we go into a restaurant, businesses, they talk about being safe, wear a mask, et cetera. So I can understand why that is so important.
Yeah, and
it is, Mike. And I think that the research that we've looked at is that we know that people feel safest in their own personal vehicle. And, you know, they feel safe being in a community that they know and that they can trust the safety standards. And one of the things that Austin and I have been talking about is that, you know, actually, there are many attractions who, though they compete, they actually also cooperate very, very well. And perhaps, you know, we could get Austin just to talk a little bit about some of the safety standards that they're doing there at the North Pole.
Exactly. Austin, you know, we mentioned it a little bit when we started the extra, but yeah, what are some of those key safety steps that people are bringing in and that you guys are implementing at the North Pole, knowing that you are one of our, you know, legacy attractions, you know, obviously have that trust of the population, and what are you guys continuing to do to keep, you know, the community safe to help rebound into future years?
Right. So right now, you know, obviously we put a bunch of sanitizing stations throughout the park. You know, we've installed all the barriers between registers and the public, you know, and our card readers are all available for you guys for contactless payment. We are enforcing masks inside and encouraging masks outside. We have markings all over the park for 6 feet of social distancing, so it's very clear and very obvious what people need to do to maintain that distance. The four rides that we do have available right now are sanitized after every use, and the slide is sanitized every 30 minutes. You know, we're constantly walking the park and cleaning up the touch points, and you know, it's a big thing because, you know, not only is this our business, this is where we work and where we live, and my parents are here and my kids are here, and it's personal. You know, we want to keep you safe and we want to keep ourselves safe, and you just have to be smart right now, and all of our employees are wearing masks and you know, socially distancing from Santa and all of it, even though it's a little different. It's just what everybody needs to do right now.
And Austin, since you are not open, not all rides and attractions are open because of the pandemic, how is that impacting the employee? Are you, you're not running at full capacity for employees, I would imagine.
Right, yes. We're down about 80 people staff-wise. We had a great group of kids that we were excited about, but unfortunately, we had to let 80 people go just because we couldn't use them on the limited amount that we are allowed to be open, and that was pretty devastating.
Now, Austin, I know it seems like with all these regulations, you know, both from the state and, you know, the county, that it's a moving target, and as soon as you get ready for something, something else changes. But have you heard of maybe any additional availability or any additional opening capacity coming in the future that you might be able to look forward to?
Unfortunately, until the numbers stabilize here in El Paso County, we're not open by a variance. We're open by public health orders with local approval. And right now, the state is not granting any variances right now. So until the state resumes the variance process, it's unfortunately out of our hands. We've, you know, talked about a couple of our other rides that are single person carts where there is absolutely no intermingling of families. But unfortunately, because the way that a lot of our rides are classified as technical amusement rides, those are not allowed. The only reason we're allowed to open the four that we have are because of they're licensed differently. Like our Sky Ride is a gondola or a ski lift, and the state allowed those open. And, you know, they're licensed differently than our others. So it's going to be some time before we're able to get the rest of the park going.
All right, Austin to Doug, stand by, please. We've got to take care of a little business. We've got another segment with both of you coming up in just a moment. The time is 9:45, 15 minutes before 10 o'clock. You're listening to KRDO's Extra. And you can also listen, by the way, wanted to mention this, if you have a smart speaker, it's easy to say, just say, Alexa, play KRDO News Radio on TuneIn Radio, and boom, she comes up, sounds really good, so just another way to listen to the station. We will have this episode of The Extra on our podcast page at KRDO.com a little bit later today, so if you missed part of it and you want to go back and review, and you'd like to share the information, maybe you know other business owners that could benefit from this, or other folks, please do so.
Yeah, and, you know, Doug, and we've spent so much time talking about, you know, the effects of what's happened the past couple months, the past, you know, 2, 3, 4 months ahead. In your expert opinion, you know, you're working with numbers of businesses, including Austin and the North Pole, so often. What do you see as far as the big impact for the next 4 months moving ahead coming into the fall months?
I guess creativity and flexibility. As Austin said before the break, they have had to really manage with much less staff. They've had to be creative in allowing people to come into the park at no admission. And yet I know that towards the end of this month that their fall schedule will kick in. And they are like all many, many other businesses here in town, that as these capacities that both El Paso County Public Health and the state are looking at, we've got to stay open. We don't want to have further cutbacks, which is why El Paso County Public Health took a proactive step to reduce the number of people who could gather indoors, because the last thing we want to do is have the state say that you've got to reduce even further the number of people who can come into your business. So I just think that creativity, flexibility, and probably patience are the three things that businesses are going to have to exhibit here in the near term until we see what happens with the impact of schools opening.
Yeah, and Austin, you know, you've discussed a little bit about kind of adjusting and learning to this, you know, new normal, new reality on the fly. What are some of the tips that you have for other small business owners who are currently navigating such a, you know, tumultuous time and, you know, such unknown?
Right. I mean, I would say get used to the uncertainty. I mean, we've been taking it week by week. You told me a year ago that we would be closed half a summer, and when we did open, we'd only have 4 of our 28 rides, I would have really thought you were crazy. I would have never thought at the beginning of this that we would be able to run with just rides, but you got to figure it out, because I think that the attractions in this area are so strong that we just have to figure out a way to just get through this so that we do have a future as a region and businesses. You know, the majority of these businesses are family owned. Even, you know, the tourist attractions, like you say, you know, there's not a lot of corporations in here managing our attractions. We are all family owned for the most part, and we are all just having to adjust on the fly and figure it out. I think we are adjusting to kind of an extended summer season as school dates are being pushed back, and families are still looking to get out and enjoy this weather with their kids. And, you know, parents are still adjusting to what is the school schedule going to look like. So I think it's a good time for businesses to figure out a way to cater to the families here locally, and but we all have to do it within what we're allowed to do and what we're allowed to do safely. So we just you know, take it day by day and week by week, and we're not planning on too much. We're hopeful, but you know, right now the focus is on what we can do right now to make sure that there is kind of end game and a long-term goal.
And Doug, we have about a minute
left. I would add on to that too. When you think back to when Austin said, if you'd have told her a year ago that she'd only have four attractions open, four of her rides open this summer, she'd say, you know, you're crazy. Think back to it. In December of 2019, the New York Times named Colorado Springs one of the top 50 destinations in the world to visit. We were poised for a really, really great year. And so what we're hopeful for, and the reason that, you know, we've got to be optimistic, is that next spring, you know, the new Summit House on top of Pikes Peak will open. The Cog Railway will reopen. We've got the Manitou Incline reopening now. And you know, the Olympic Museum and the Switchback Stadium. We've got so many great things to look forward to. And yet our attractions, as Austin said, when you think about the North Pole and Cave of the Winds and the Cliff Dwellings and you know, the just so many, they're all family-owned businesses. So I just hope listeners will think about, what can we do to support? Well, let's take our kids and grandkids and let's just go support those things that visitors from all over the world recognize make us such a special destination.
And Doug, we've got to cut it there because of time. We could do another hour. It's fascinating. We'll get you back on. We appreciate both your time. Austin and Doug Price, thank you very much. It's 9:55.